On December 2nd, the University of Maryland Baltimore County, UMBC, will host an event in its Free Humanities Forum series focusing on the untold story of the Atlantic Slave Rebellion in the Dutch Caribbean. Dr. Kars, Associate Professor of History at UMBC and author of an upcoming book on this subject, tells us more about this history and what it teaches us about the dynamics of other famous rebellions.
In the year 1763-1764, nearly all 5,000 slaves in the Dutch colony of Berbice rose in rebellion. Although this rebellion in what is now the Republic of Guyana on the Caribbean coast of South America was the most extensive and longest lasting in the New World before the Haitian Revolution, it's virtually unknown. Yet the unusually rich documentation it generated over more than a year offers an opportunity to look at slave rebellion in fresh ways. Viewed from a distance, the uprising seems to fit the normal pattern of New World slave revolts. The number of insurgents expanded rapidly as rebels set fire to plantations. They killed several dozen Europeans and sent the rest fleeing. In no time, the rebellion encompassed practically all the enslaved people in Berbice, an apparently united force. The insurgents controlled the colony until the arrival of an army from the Netherlands. As the rebels ran out of food, weapons, and ammunition, the European soldiers, along with the Amerindians allied with the Dutch, killed scores and captured hundreds. As the Dutch regained their colony in spring 1764, they executed 125 men and 3 women in gruesome ways. Such stories are familiar. Rebels against colonizer, freedom seekers against oppressors, locked in military battle. But when we look beyond the more commonly studied conflict between masters and slaves, and study instead the internal politics of the rebellion, the story becomes more intriguing. Even though the rebellion appeared massive to the Dutch, it was in fact the work of a determined minority who forced the participation of their fellow slaves. They were even re-enslaving people to work on sugar plantations and provision grounds. In actuality, many enslaved people in Berbice were neither purposeful rebels nor active collaborators, nor did they pick one position and stick with it. Rather, as one would expect in a lengthy, dangerous, and ever-changing insurgency, people moved along the political spectrum, changing their positions and loyalties, sometimes multiple times, as survival demanded. Many engaged not in outright rebellion, but in acts of limited resistance, strategic accommodation, and reluctant cooperation with either the Dutch or the rebels. Interestingly, the records suggest that men gained more from the rebellion than women did. As a prolonged military conflict, rebellion provided men with opportunities for increased status and new identities as soldiers and leaders, from which women were excluded. Women were also more likely to be re-enslaved by the rebels, to work in the fields or gardens, or to be given to rebel leaders as spoils of war. In fact, the Berbice Rebellion fostered the subordination of women to men. Clearly, not all enslaved Berbicians agreed on what freedom was. And that makes this slave rebellion look a lot like more famous major political upheavals, such as the American or French Revolutions.
Hear more from Dr. Kars at the Humanities Forum at UMBC on Wednesday, December 2nd from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Visit dreschercenter.umbc.edu for more information. The Maryland Humanities Council is a statewide nonprofit that creates and supports educational experiences in the humanities that inspire all Marylanders to embrace lifelong learning, exchange ideas openly, and enrich their communities. Humanities Connection is produced by the Maryland Humanities Council for WYPR. For the Maryland Humanities Council, I'm Phoebe Stein.